Blog Talk Radio.
Every single day, something's gonna come your way, good or bad. You don't need to hang your head, gotta make a move instead. Don't be mad, there's always a way to get everything to positive in your life. Nothing can stop you now, that's the way we live now.
Aiza and my lovely co-host.
What's good? What's good? It's Shay Meminger, y'all.
And you are listening to The Good Life. The Good Life promotes a commitment to a lifestyle of resourcefulness. This is a movement. We are about celebrating the innovators, the risk takers, the movers, the shakers, the go-getters, those who go open up the doors, those who find a way to make it all happen. We call them our do-gooders, and that's you, our listening audience, of course.
That's right. And before we do anything, we always want to take the time out to thank our community and our families for their support and their encouragement to this vision. We never take it lightly, the power to influence, the power to inspire and empower. And as you receive, everybody, you got to pay it forward. Do-gooders, our lines are open right now. You can call in at 347-838-8917. That number, again, is 347-838-8917. So, Adiaga.
Yes.
What's good, girl? You making some big moves out here in these streets.
Let me tell you how God is so able. Do-gooders, are you listening?
Let me tell you how
God is so able, because just a few years ago, for those of you that don't know my story, just a few years ago, you know, I had embarked, or I thought about embarking upon, you know, performing arts. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of training in that in terms of acting. I knew I had a voice, but that's all that I knew. And so when I said I was going to give this a try, honey, I went into the business with a busted black and white headshot and some thrown together experiences on a piece of paper. And I said, well, you know, what I do have is a voice, so let me at least go in and audition for musical theater. And by the grace of God, with the limited credits that I had, I was able to get into it on that level. And then as I got some more training and experience and just more so learning on the job, I was able to transition to straight acting. But I can remember there were days when I was going to be an extra on this set and an extra on that set, and I was watching and learning and waiting my turn as I went along. And that was, I want to say that was 2011 when I said I'm going to attempt. And then when I decided I was going to really try and do this and make a bold step forward, it was really last year. And now you are looking at or listening to a Barrymore Award-winning actress. I received that award yesterday for Outstanding Ensemble in a Play, for the work that we did as a cast. It was nine of us for Little Rock. It was a story about Little Rock 9, school desegregation in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I'm going to tell you, that was a glorious moment. Definitely a milestone moment for all of us, and I'm still on cloud nine.
Congratulations.
Do-gooders, if you hear my voice is really out right now, it's not all the way. That's because I was doing a lot of screaming and all kinds of just losing my mind the other day. But we were at the Merriam Theater in Philadelphia, and it was a beautiful, beautiful time. So thank you, Do-gooders, for all your support. Thank you, Shay, for all of your support throughout the year.
Yes.
It's been a long road. And listen, I got some more work to do. That's just step number one. I got other things. I got many rivers to cross, but this is definitely a celebratory time for me at this moment. Definitely.
That's right. That's
definitely.
Right. We are. I am so proud of my friend. I know how hard you work, Adiaga. And just to, when I got that text message, I don't even know, was it 1 o'clock in the morning?
I don't know.
And my phone was ringing, and I was like, yay! And I couldn't write anything else, but I was just like, let me just celebrate with her for the 2 seconds that I'm awake. I'm so proud. I'm so happy. And I am only wishing nothing but the best for you, Adiaga, because I know that you are an amazing talent. And if you have not seen Adiaga on stage, it is something to see. Please make sure that any show that she is in, that we make sure that we let you know here on The Good Life, make sure that you get a ticket to go see my sister, because she is amazing, amazing. Please support her in everything and anything that she does. So I just want to give a shout out, a whoop whoop, to
Thank
my
you,
friend.
Thank you, girl. Long time coming. But what's good with you, my sister? What's good with you?
Well, let's things are quickly moving on the happy choo choo train.
Really?
Yes. I you know, for the last few weeks I've been letting everyone here, all of our do gooders know I'm in a great space, and I'm happy that I'm in this space. And I just wanna say this, and I know that we have both been giving everyone encouragement throughout these weeks as we are now changing into seasons. And it seems as though some of us may not understand what it is that we need to be doing right now. But I just want to encourage people, because I've realized that the moment I let go of certain things, thoughts, ideas,
mm-hmm.
and people, stuff just completely opened up for me. And when I say opened up, I mean in a matter of hours.
But what kind of people did you have to let go?
I had to let go of people that were not falling in line with what I needed in my life.
Mm.
Whether that was a friendship, whether that was a intimate relationship, whether that was a business, you know, partnership or potential partnership. And for me, it was D, all of the above. There were some people that I was trying to forge relationships with that weren't necessarily supporting me and who I am and what I do. And I was becoming very frustrated, because what I was doing that was counterproductive for me was to try to create the situation that I needed to happen with people that I didn't need to try to forge those type of relationships with. And
okay.
I'm wondering, you know, why isn't this working? How come this person doesn't want to, you know, do the right thing? They know what needs to be done. You know, all of those different questions that we've asked ourselves from time to time when we get in situations like that. The moment I said, you know what, I need to just let this go, just stop it. It's not benefiting myself. It's not benefiting that person, because I know they're getting tired of me constantly being upset and nagging, or just being, you know, irritated, and I'm not being happy because my needs are not being met in whatever capacity that person should be in. The moment I sat down with them and said, you know what, this will be our last conversation, this will be our last interaction, this will be our last meeting, that's when things just started opening up. Literally,
let me ask you, what made you stay there? What made you continue that relationship, so those relationships and friendships in the beginning, or what made you stay there as long as you did?
There's two things. One is, did not see it, whatever the relationship was, because for me it was on multiple, you know, platforms. I didn't see it working with anyone else, because I didn't imagine it working with anyone else. I just got fixated on that one person, and I could not.
Because you didn't
see
think
beyond.
That there would be other options.
I didn't think there were going to be other options at all. And the second thing was, I was afraid of the rejection of me, you know, if it didn't work out, it would be because of me. Or if it didn't work out, it was because I didn't try hard enough. If it didn't work out, it was because, you know, it was something that I did. And that person would be able to blame me. So if I work hard at it, if I exhaust all of my options and it still doesn't work, then it doesn't fall on me, it falls on them. Not, you know, coming to the realization that it wasn't supposed to be them in the first place. They were just there for a moment. And, you know, sometimes we try to make people stay in whatever space that they're in our lives for longer than they need to be. And that's why we end up being frustrated.
Yeah, because their duration, their time has passed.
Now
they become like a unwelcome guest when you've overstayed your welcome. And
exactly.
Some people don't know when they've overstayed their welcome. And that person just may be you, the person that's housing them, you know, in terms
exactly.
of your emotions and all that other stuff. Sometimes you don't know. But my question is this. Why did you not think that there would be other options? Because that's the real question.
And I've thought about this, and Ariaga, you know that we have talked about this off the air, because I didn't see that I was worthy of having other options. I didn't think that I was.
Is it because did you prescribe to that the black girl theory that, well, it's slim pickings, take what you get. You know, more than likely you're going to have to do this strong black woman thing on your own, whether it be in love or in business or in life. You know what I mean? Did you subconsciously subscribe to that?
I think it was a little bit of that, but I think it was also more of how did I value myself? What was I willing to settle for, you know, and me trying to make myself be okay with less than what I needed. And, you know, being the type of person where, okay, you know, I'm always picking up the slack. I'm always, you know, handling things beyond what I need to handle because it just needs to get done. So I might as well just go ahead and do it. It's fine. No, you don't worry about it because you weren't going to do it anyway. You know, sometimes when we're at work, you know, do-gooders, I'm sure that you all have had those experiences, you do somebody else's job. Because you're like, oh, it's fine, you know, and you don't even say anything because you're at the point now where it's like it becomes a moot point where you don't even want to bother asking this person why aren't they picking up their and, you know, their slack, and you just end up doing their work because you know it needs to get done and you don't want to walk away and it's still undone and you know that it could have been done 3 weeks ago or, you know, a month ago. So you just end up doing it. And then you now start taking on the resentment of why is it that I'm doing everything? Or why is it that, you know, I have to make this person call me? Or why is it that I have to make this person show that they appreciate me? It's because, you know, sometimes you don't feel like you are worth someone doing things that they don't need to be told to do. That this is your burden. You know, you're the ox or the mule that has to carry every burden, and that couldn't be any further from the truth. And I think it correlates also into the way that we approach situations where we might feel that we're being, you know, where we might have, you know, some sign of rejection or just even, you know, do I want to try this? Maybe I'm not good enough. All of those different things, they play a large part in it. And this season for me has honestly been an eye-opener of what exactly I and so many people are capable and are worthy of receiving if you just stop taking on things that you really don't need to and discounting yourself and saying, oh, that's
see,
not going to work anyway.
But you know what? I will say, and I don't want to call this necessarily the black girl's burden, but I will say this, that everything in our culture, particularly even if you want to look at, like, our southern roots and in I want to say the church culture, is all based on swallowing your voice in a sense. You know, we listen, we sing about it, we read about it. You know, if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, you know,
right.
All of these things that we say that kind of support not having a voice, that kind of uplifts being, I don't want to say being a victim, but kind of uplifts being burdened down and carrying a load as if it's some badge of honor because the meek shall inherit the earth. And all, you understand what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
It's almost like we've been taught not to have that voice, not to speak up, not to stand out, not to not necessarily be bold and saying, no, this is what I want out of life, and I'm going to be unapologetic about it. No, this is not fair treatment of me, and I'm going to be unapologetic about my feelings about that. Some way, somehow, taking that kind of stand is not necessarily what we are subconsciously taught in that culture.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it's like I think it bleeds over into our lives in so many other ways. And
right.
We really do have to be conscious about that in terms of where in your life are you not really speaking up. It could
right.
be, it could be in your relationship. It could be in even in your self-talk, like just not taking on a vocabulary or a thought process that is not pushing you forward. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know. I just think that's something. I think that's something that we really do have to examine, particularly in our culture.
I definitely agree. I feel like we have sometimes been victims of post-traumatic stress disorder when it comes to different things in our lives, you know, whether it's relationships, whether it's even just, you know, I was talking with some of my students, and interestingly enough, today we had our school assembly, and a presentation during that assembly was a memorial service for the words I can't and other negative thoughts. And words that support negative thinking. And we basically buried negative thinking today in our school assembly. And I was talking with a few of the kids, you know, after the assembly about, you know, what did they think about that. And they say a lot of times, you know, I don't even look at certain books, you know, in the library because I feel it's too hard. You know, and I said, well, how would you know? Did you, you know, read the book? It just looks hard. And I think what has happened is we start to, like you said, Adiyaga, inflict this self-punishment where we don't even venture out. We're almost like little turtles, you know, peeking and saying, oh, well, you know, no, that doesn't look like that should be for me. That's way too nice looking, or he's way too nice looking, or she's way too nice looking, or that job is way too, you know, prestigious for me. I don't, they wouldn't want anybody like me, or, you know, just whatever. We've often, you know, looked at things that we desire, but we never step out and say, you know what? I have the credentials for that. I have the expertise for that. I might not have all of the schooling, but I have some of the experience that they need. Or, you know what? I'm going to talk to that person because they might be out of my league, but they don't know who I am yet. You know?
But that's interesting you said it because I remember there were, you know, years ago, there were some jobs I did not apply to because the salary was so high. You
right.
you ever been
oh, yes.
Something?
Oh, yes.
And it's like, when that salary is $1,000, I don't know. It's like you kind of make the self-assessment. You kind of make the self-assessment that you're not good enough for that salary, that what you have
right.
is not worth that.
Right. And then you start saying, then you start, you know, discounting yourself and dumbing yourself down. And then when you realize it, and then the funny thing, Adiyaga, is after you get within, you know, that career path, and someone will ask you, well, how come you didn't apply for such and such? You'd be great for that job.
Well, I don't know. I didn't think I had. And it's not, you know, look, you better see beyond.
Yes.
You better see beyond. You can't sit up there, and a lot of times you'll rate yourself. You'll get in your own way. You'll say, well,
right.
I don't know, you know, and then you'll block it, and then you'll apply for something that's a little like what you think you're worth,
right.
You know.
Right.
And
right.
You wind up maybe just missing a blessing. You never know.
Exactly. Or
because you're looking at the competition, or you assuming what the competition is.
That's right. You've already made yourself the contender, and you haven't even seen the competition yet. How do we do that? We will defeat ourselves. It's almost like I'm a huge football fan, and there are often in a lot of football movies they'll have you know, the team that's kind of the underdog, they're in the locker room and they're getting
right.
themselves ready. And then there's another team on the opposite wall, and they're making noise and getting each other hyped up. And the other team is like, oh, they're going to beat us. And then when they all come out on the field, the other team is scrawny. And and
right.
they have mixed match uniforms, and
you got it in your mind. They the giant,
right?
They the big
exactly.
bad wolf over there, but you don't know.
And then you psych yourself out, and you're like, oh man, we're gonna lose. And then you run out on the field, and they're a bunch of, you know, bad news bears with mixed match uniforms on, but
right.
they had heart. They had heart.
They're confident. They're confident. That's the thing. How you let somebody else's confidence scare you? Like,
come on now. Let's go.
But that happens all the time.
It happens
all the time, and it happens in many ways. Sisters, a lot of time. Now, I'll give you another scenario in which that kind of happens, but in a different way. Just like I said, sometimes people let other people's confidence mess with their mind and make them not confident, which is crazy. Just like for particularly you, our women, our do-gooders out there, when another pretty woman walks in a room, why do you all of a sudden feel less pretty? Like somebody else's beauty doesn't diminish your own. It's just another pretty face in the room.
It doesn't. You know
it's
what?
It's just another
what
pretty
I've,
face in the room.
Exactly. What I have tried to make a conscious effort in doing is if I see another beautiful sister, whether she's black, white, you know, Asian, Hispanic, if she has on something nice or if she her face is, her makeup is done or her hair looks nice, I really try to make a conscious effort to compliment, because we do have that type of competitive spirit. And you know, and you notice when you go and you give them a compliment, they're like, oh, thank you. I saw this young lady the other day. She had on this really nice leather jacket, and I saw her walking towards me. I said, as soon as she gets close to me, I'm going to, you know, compliment her. And I said, you know, sis, your jacket is dope. And she kind of looks at me and was like, oh, thank you. You know, but it was even with her reaction was just like, she's saying I look nice, you know.
Right, like she would never expect that another woman would take the time out
right.
to uplift her.
Right,
which
right.
is this sad reality that we face today, that people
we
are
do.
Just so amazed when you take the time out to give them a compliment, if you're not of the opposite sex, of course.
Right, because I definitely wasn't trying to take her home. I just like the quote.
But listen, but what I will say is this. Rejection, why? This is the thing. Why do people fear rejection? Because rejection really, it depends on how you look at rejection. Some people look at rejection with a sense of fear and dread and, you know, oh, my gosh. Whereas if you, because we're all about being a go-getter, right? Remixing
right,
your
right.
life.
Yes,
so
it's all about the remix.
Oh, it's all about the remix over here. So the rejection could be just another roadmap to say, okay, no, you wasn't supposed to make a right there.
Right. A detour.
This rejection is
detour.
Telling you to either, you know what I'm saying? Detour. And that detour might lead you to where you were supposed to be from the get-go. So
exactly.
rejection does not necessarily, like I was at the award show the other day. They were highlighting this man, and he had said that he, now mind you, he's a celebrated actor and director and all of this. And the bio that was read had his voice, of course, and he said he always, his dream was to be a baseball player. But he just couldn't hit the ball. If only he knew how to hit the ball, he could be a baseball player. And then he tried, it was something else that he tried, I don't know if it was basketball, if only he could get the ball in the net,
right,
he would have been Kobe Bryant. But
right,
he couldn't, he couldn't, and that wasn't his gift, that wasn't his ministry, that wasn't his talent, whatever you want to call it, his sweet spot, that wasn't it. And he just so happened to stumble upon the acting, and he found his way. So my thing is, okay, he probably went home devastated that his baseball dreams were never going to come true. He was never picked to be on the team. His basketball, you know, his plan B of being an athlete, basketball, that didn't work. He could have been like, well, you know what, life is over. But he was open to try something else. You know, and that's, to me, that's what life is all about, trying other things, giving yourself a shot, opening another door, deciding to push forward, even maybe your plan, maybe if you open your life up to another plan.
Right, right.
And let that happen, then the possibilities can be endless for you. But I think some people are just so stuck on what they originally wanted, what they always dreamed about, what the plan, you know, whatever. And there's some space for that in terms of being a go-getter, being persevering, all of that. But sometimes you got to really look at what life is trying to tell you. I don't think rejection is trying to tell you to give up. A rejection could be the universe asking you, do you really want it? Rejection could be, or rejection could be another way of redirecting you to where you got to go.
Exactly.
Perceptive,
I think,
is key.
Yeah. I think we oftentimes we take rejection as the say all end all, as the final say, the stamp on you're not good enough. And I think because we haven't, you know, even from young children, we haven't been taught to look at rejection as a healthy way of dusting yourself off and trying again. You know, we often, we practice rejection as it's a no. Don't, that means don't try it. Don't, you know, attempt to, you know, look at the remix. Don't attempt to look at a different way. And we have to now basically put ourselves in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I don't mind rejection when it's coming from a supportive, you know, place, when it's coming from a vehicle of change. I don't mind rejection. Now, there's going to be rejection, and you're just like, you know what, F you too. You know, excuse my language, but there's going to be people who's going to reject you, and you're just like, you know what, you're a jerk. It's okay. I'm good. Thank you for telling me no, because had you told me yes, I'd probably be a mess right now.
And or there's people that's going to reject you because they see that you're doing some things, and they think rejecting you is going to slow down your mission. Your engine number 9. And some people, you know, and that could be the case. You
that
do have
be.
Some people that want to block you from, they see that you are doing things. They see that you're changing in a good way. They see that you are stepping out, well, whatever it is, positive. And listen, let's not be fooled, do-gooders. There are people out there that will reject you because they're trying to block you.
That's right.
They want to reject you. They want to reject you because maybe you put them on a pedestal, and maybe it feels good for them to reject you. Some people are really weird like that. Some people get their kicks over watching you strive for their affection and attention and, you know, applause. Some people really, because they're going through some inner turmoil themselves, they got to look themselves in the mirror and figure that out. But understand that you will come to some people in some situations that are only there to block you because they have an agenda. But then you have situations like I was just watching, shout out to Project Runway, one of my favorite shows on Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
this guy one of the artists, Edmund, he said he tried to get on that show as a designer 13 times. And 13 times he would actually get to the point where they had him on TV or whatever they did, and he would be in front of the panel, and he would get right there, and they wouldn't choose him to be in the final people to be on the cast for the season.
Right.
He would get 13 times. He can you imagine you sewing some items together, you designing some things, and you're like, okay, these are the best selections I have to show to the panel, and you get up there with your designs 13 times. How many years of span of time that was for him? On the 14th try,
right,
he gets to be in the full cast of the cast that you see when it finally gets to TV. Do you know that brother, and I have not seen the finale, but I think the finale is coming up this week. Do you know that brother made it to the final four to Fashion Week? So
after
all of the time, now he could have gave up on the third try.
Right. Most of us would have.
I'm not going to sit up here and put some designs together. I'm sitting here, I'm slaving, I'm spending my money on fabric, I'm trying to do that, and I get up here, and I'm giving y'all 10, 20, 12 designs, showing you, and y'all sit, tell me no. And I got to go through this process of being rejected and watch it on TV 13 times.
Right. Because let's be real. Most of us, after the third or fourth time, would have said, maybe it's not for me.
After
maybe
the first
you know.
Time.
Honey, yeah, let's be real. Let's really be real, because most of us would have said after the first time, Adiaga, you're absolutely right. These designs, maybe I'm just not cut out for this.
Or, well, at least I went. There's so many others that didn't go. At least I made it that far. At least, you know, and you did. That'll be it. But the brother could have cut it off at the first, the second, third time. Who would have thought that on the 15th try he would have made it? And not, come on, nobody would. Who thinks that far ahead? That on the fifth. See, a lot of you give up too easy when you don't know that maybe the sixth time you call, somebody will pick up the phone. Maybe the eighth time that you submit that email, somebody will be like, I done seen this name over the years. Let me just finally call it. You know, let me just maybe just have an interview and see what this person's talking about. You maybe on the 10th try, finally, you'll get an investor. Maybe. But see, all you think about, it didn't work the first time. I may give it a good 3 strong tries. Oh, well, I'm going to get. But you don't know that what is for you could be 10 tries down the road. Now,
mm-hmm.
whether he win or not, brother get a chance to show his stuff at Fashion Week. How many people in the world get a chance to do that in New York City?
Right. But then not only
that. So he done won.
Right. But not only that, every time he went, he saw what they wanted, what he needed to improve
mm-hmm.
for his own fashion line. So every time he went, they said, no, maybe you should do this. And he probably went back and said, all right, you know what? Instead of zippers, I'm doing fork clasps. And then he went back, and now all of his designs have fork clasps. Then he went back, and they were like, oh, we don't like the fork clasps. Maybe we want an invisible zipper. And then he went back, and now he has lines, well, you want fork clasps, you want visible zipper, you want invisible zipper, you want a hidden pleat, all of these different things. So now he's improved. He's taken those rejections, and he has now used them to improve himself, instead of what most of us do and have done, is we take it and then we curl up and we get some cheese curls and we watch Golden Girls. And I'm talking about myself, and we go to bed at 6:30 while it's still light outside, and we're like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore because I'm tired. Because I'm tired of being rejected. I'm tired of people telling me, no, I don't want to go out. No, I'm not going in on a date because I don't want to sit here and have somebody tell me that I'm a nice person. Why am I still single? I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to go on this interview because I'm tired of them telling me that I have too much experience or not enough experience or why am I here?
Mm.
We've all been through it, do-gooders. But we've all been through it. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he told me that he went to this job interview, and they literally told him that he has too much experience.
Hmm. because they, you know why they told him that? Because they're not trying to pay him. That's the that's all about. They're not trying to pay him.
And that's exactly what I told him. But how how crushing can that be for someone who has worked hard, has devoted their life, has taken classes, has gone to school, and they know in themselves that they are worthy, and then they go to a job that they're like, oh my gosh, this will be a great opportunity, only for that you know, interviewer to tell them, well, you have a lot of experience. And he's like, well, yeah, isn't that what you want?
Right.
Yeah, but no, they don't want to pay you what you're worth.
Right. They don't pay you what you're worth. You got too much going for you. So we can't really.
Right.
You might be as good. They want to make sure that you don't ask for the money. So let's just not even consider you because you have too much experience, so we're not going to pay you according to the experience.
But, geez, I mean, you know, that definitely is a testament of perseverance. 15 times. Going, getting up there, and I'm quite sure that every time he went up there, he brought something new. It wasn't, and that's another thing. We always want to bring the same old stuff and present it like it's new and try to impress people and wow people with the same old stuff. Like, stop.
Right.
Stop. Reinvent yourself. If somebody's telling you, especially if you're going for, you know, things like this, like auditions, and they'll say, listen, we need such and such, go do your homework and practice and get yourself together.
You know,
and stop,
put your best foot forward.
That's it. That's it.
Rejection.
And if you don't and if you don't have your best foot, find a prosthetic.
Oh, my Lord.
And fake it till you make it.
Listen, you got to think out the box sometime. You really
you
do
definitely
have to think
do.
Out the box.
You definitely do.
There's going to be, you're going to, listen, as sure as you're born, you're going to be rejected in life. I don't know too many people, well, listen, hey, maybe it's a by virtue of where I grew up at or what have you, but I don't know too many people skippity-doo-dying down the road. Like,
not around these parts.
I did not skip any doo dah down the road. I tried to look for a yellow brick road. I couldn't find one. I found some gritty streets with some potholes. But I said, hey, it was a road, and I could walk down it, and that's what
that's
I did.
That's right.
You know?
That's what you have to do.
That's what it is.
That's what you have to do.
You gotta do, and you gotta be okay, and trust the timing of your life. Also, you really have to trust the timing of your life, because sometimes we've talked about this so many times before, but you know, sometimes you just have it all in your mind that you have this time frame of when things are supposed to happen, and not just a time frame, but a movie of how it's supposed to happen, and what's going to be said, and how it's going to lay out. Now, listen, nobody's saying, please have faith. You can have a goal of mine and have faith, but don't think that because you have this dream and this vision that it's going to happen the way you wanted it to happen in terms of how you're going to get there. Now, how you get there, that's up to the good Lord.
That's
in my opinion, because there's something, like you said, he might have been that same designer, Edmund, he might have been upset about being rejected 13 times. But if he had the mindset of what we're talking about, which I'm sure he did, it was clear that he had the mindset of, well, you know, in this 13 times, yeah, I was rejected, yeah, I wasn't on the TV, I didn't really get to, you know, it was 13 opportunities I had that went down the wayside of me not being able to be on New York City Fashion Week. However, them 13 tries, I got some information. I had time to build my skill, to build my sewing skills. I had time to get some new visions. I had time to watch the show as it was going on, 13 seasons. I had time to sit back and realize what the pitfalls were. I had time to look at all the different challenges they gave the designers, so I knew, okay, at some point I'm going to have an unconventional materials challenge. Let me figure out how to put something together that's not material. You know, you had time to do that. So in the rejection, yes, it's kind of messed up that you put time and effort into getting there, but you know what? it proved out to be a blessing anyway. And sometimes you have to have a, like that third eye to think about, okay, what's really happening? It's not what's happening to me, it's what's happening for me. You know, and to me,
right.
That's what the rejection is about. Not that it happened to you, but it's happening for you, and it's for a reason. Rejection is for a reason. It's not just, oh, I'm rejected. It's always a reason attached to that. And but
that's
you
right.
you have to have the right mind to figure out, okay, am I going to go home? Like you, what you said, 6 o'clock, you was bowling up, you was watching the,
that's
yeah,
right.
the ice cream.
I was
doing,
curled
watching
up,
the,
curled
the,
up.
The Golden
curled
Girls
up.
And the...
Girl.
Up at 6 o'clock, or you gonna be okay? You going, well, we said remix it, put you on a new
yes.
party dress,
and get your butt out there,
and go back out there.
That's right.
And do what you have to do and find another way.
Right, and I want to say this because there are some times where you do need to cocoon yourself. Because sometimes you put yourself out there so much that you do leave yourself open for unnecessary rejection, unnecessary situations that are going to cause you pain. Sometimes people are out too much and they expose themselves too much. That's just my opinion. I say that because sometimes we don't give ourselves time to reflect and heal from whatever the rejection is, whether it is going on an interview. We don't give ourselves time and to sit down and look at our resume and look at our credentials and figure out a way, you know, that we need to remix our resume or remix how we present ourselves in an interview or in a business meeting or whatever. We don't take the time. We're just constantly, you know, on the defensive, oh, well, they don't like me or they don't know what, you know, they're missing out. And sometimes we do, like you said, with the designer, you do need to take notes and sit back and go, okay, all right, let me figure out what I need to do now to wow them. Because now it is on me. Because I want to become my own competition. I want to be better than I was the third time, the 10th time, the 12th time. Because now I'm not competing against anybody else. I'm competing against the person that got rejected on time number 4.
Right.
How can I be different? And sometimes we just want to just, you know, ignore those areas of improvement that we need to be working on. And sometimes we do need to come in the house early and sit and read over our resume and edit it, because sometimes there's typos on it. And, baby, that's why you got rejected, because you misspelled there.
Sometimes it could be that simple.
Exactly. and we're just so, you know, oh, they just hate it. No, look it over. Examine yourself. Check yourself out. Take the time out. Ask a friend, what is it? What do I need to do? Do I come off too harsh? Am I too strong? Is my perfume good? Do I have spinach in my teeth? What's the matter? And then really, and not beat yourself up about it, but then say, you know what? Let me work on myself. Let me get myself together. Let me get my best presentation speech together. Let me get my best interview, you know, dialogue together. Let me think about some key points that I want to discuss. Let me, you know, think of some clever things to say when I meet somebody instead of, you know, me, where I'm like, I like cheese. Hi. I'm saying I like cheese.
Oh, my Lord.
Sometimes somebody's going to appreciate that. But,
and be okay.
You know,
listen, you could be your own. I saw something, I don't know if it was on Instagram, but I saw this quote, and I think maybe I have it on my page. Be your own kind of beautiful.
That's right.
Be your
you
own kind.
You have to.
Would you say you like cheese?
I love cheese. I do.
You know, maybe there's a cheese conference somewhere where
there
you can
is.
Find like-minded, cheesy individuals. That you could go and cheese together. Like, you know, there's a space for you. You
yes,
like.
But, that,
you,
but that doesn't need to be your opening line for everybody. That's my point. Is that.
No, I'm just saying. No, no.
Person.
Listen, you like comic books and you like, you know, stuff that like what you call games and you a gamer. Comic-Con. Ain't there's a space for you. You like hair and stuff about hair, and you like to do hair and learn about products, you can go to the Bronner Brothers show every year. Listen, there's a space for every kind of beautiful, every kind of thing, every kind of quirky, whatever that you deem is quirky or whatever. There's a space for you. You have a tribe, is what I'm trying to say. So if you are rejected, if you are rejected by somebody, or you rejected from a group, or you rejected from a whatever it is that you're trying to get into,
that's
listen,
not your tribe.
There's a space for you. That's not your tribe.
That's not your tribe.
And you got to be okay with that. Please don't think you missed the boat. You didn't miss the boat. That's just not your tribe. Or maybe it's not your tribe right now. Or maybe you got to grow into that. I don't know what it is. But don't think that, listen, there's a space for you in this world. There is a space for you. You don't have to be rejected, neglected, and disrespected.
You need to be
like Creflo,
you need
broke, busted, and disgusting.
Right. You need to be protected and connected.
And connected.
That's right.
And yeah, that's right. I'm just saying, like, in all fun and games, for real, there is a space for you, and you got to, and that's it. Don't think that life is not over. Life is not over because somebody or a community or whatever didn't welcome you with open arms. You know, it's all right.
Right.
It's all right.
It definitely is.
That could be leading you. That could be the catalyst to start your own movement, start your own little group, start your own organization. Go find, you know what I'm saying? Like, that could be what you needed.
I had a conversation the other day, and the person asked me, you know, how do you feel about the space that you're in right now? And I said, listen, I want to thank everybody who didn't take the time out to appreciate me. I want to thank them. I want to thank those who claimed that they would, you know, be responsible with my feelings that weren't. I want to thank them. You want to know why? Because I then learned how to look for a person in any situation that would do those things. Because had I not been with those people and in those spaces, I would not know what to look for that's not beneficial to me.
Exactly.
Because now I can see it from a mile away. Had I not been in those situations, I still would be dealing with people who are irresponsible with my feelings, who don't honor themselves with their words, who are just complete jerks, whether we're talking about intimate relationships or in any type of just interaction with people. I can see it from a mile away now, smell it. So I want to thank them because they taught me about what I need to put up with and what I need to let go.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
Don't hold on to the, you know, nobody wants to do this. I mean, we've been there. Adiaga, you and I know both, but we have firsthand knowledge, you know, all of those feelings of, well, why can't I and how come they won't and all of those things. No, I thank you now. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Because you've just given me one more chapter in my book. Well, now I can have my how-to guide on how to live the best life that I can and how to remix whatever comes my way.
That's right. And you know what? Nobody, and listen up, do-gooders. You know, I always say, get your ear close to the speakers.
That's right.
Let me let you in on something. Lean in, do-gooders. This is gonna change your life. You listening? This is a little secret to life.
All right.
Nobody likes a sourpuss. Let me tell you.
Come on.
Nobody
now.
Likes to be around for a very long period of time. Somebody that's a victim all the time, or somebody that's woe is me. Nobody likes me. Nobody, it doesn't feel good, especially when the next person can't help you, when they feel like they're helpless. to help you. You know what I mean? Because that's something that inner, that's inner work that has to be done. They can make you feel good for a little bit, but if you always there and you live in there, that's kind of hard for the next man to pull you up out of. So guess what? That energy don't want to be connected to the energy you're bringing because it's a pull down.
Right.
Are you listening, do-gooders?
Are you listening?
But let me tell you something. But now look at your own life and look to see what you're attracted to. What we like. We like color. We like vibrance. We like it when things is popping. We like it when it's just, you know what I'm saying, when everything is hitting on all cylinders. You know why? Because it's the energy. It's the energy you feel, and you're attracted. Listen, when you pop, you remember, now this might be too, this might be a little too, depending on how old or how young our listeners are. But you remember that song by Biz Markie, The Vapors? Now, listen, at the end of this program, I want y'all to look up that video, Biz Markie, The Vapors. I think it's on YouTube. Let me tell you what that whole video is about. That whole video is about rejection. He talks about him being rejected as a child. He goes through different people's life. And it's like in every situation that he scenario, I know everybody going to go to The Vapors. And the song is popping. It's still popping. It's 2015.
Yes,
it's still popping. But he, in every situation he showed on the video, it was an individual, whether they were a child or an adult, waiting, knocking on the door to be let in, whether it be in business, friendship, or love, and they were all rejected. They were all rejected. You know why? Because they didn't really feel too. I don't think those people at the time felt like they could be loved, felt like they could. But whatever the case may be, they were rejected, right? It wasn't until they got popping. Now, let me tell you about until they got popping, until their confidence boosted, until they started loving them so much, themselves so much, that the world started loving them, and until they stopped knocking on the door saying, please let me in, please love me, please validate my worth. They went their own way. They made a way. They said, okay, well, this is what I got. Let me just, you know, and life opened up for them, and then guess what happened?
Here they come.
They caught the vapors.
Catching the vapors.
Now, if you don't know what the vapors is, check out Biz Markie on YouTube and let us know about it.
some of us have caught the vapors, and some of us have been with people who had the vapors.
Right. And by the time you catch the vapors on me, it's too late.
Right. It's too late. I've long been gone. That's
been
right.
Gone, you know? Hey,
right.
It is what it is. But, you know, but guess what? That rejection at the time, what had value? Listen, God knows what he's doing. Nothing happens to you by circumstance. Nothing is a happenstance. Nothing just happens to you. Everything that goes on in your life is to bring about, I believe. This is just my thoughts. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I believe that everything happens to you in life to bring about something beautiful. It might not look beautiful at the time. There's some traumatic things that happen to people. There's some things that, oh, my goodness, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But I know some people, and I've read about some people, and I've heard about some people that took the worst of what life had, and they came out gold on the other side, okay?
That's right.
Came out
That's
golden.
Right.
And so I choose to look to them. I choose to look and kind of embody how they went through life. I'd rather be on that side than to be a punching bag for life. Just
That's
beat
right.
up.
Right.
Broke, not knowing what hit me and why it hit me.
Right.
Broke, busted.
And then not do anything about it. Because I think that's where a lot of us get stuck. We feel like, you know, this is the hand that we've been dealt, and, you know, we're now broke, busted, and disgusted, and there isn't any other way. And there's always another way. There's always a remix. There's always a plan B, a plan C, a plan Z, you know. And
hey.
we have to be able to be flexible enough to say, okay, you know what? What did I learn from that? Okay, now how can I apply it to the next time that I get myself up and I dust myself off and I try this again? Because you don't benefit anybody by just staying there saying, oh, you know, this is just what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe I'm supposed to just be single. Maybe I'm just supposed to be working this, you know, this job where I'm unhappy. Maybe I'm supposed to, you know, not be in a space or in an encouraging atmosphere. Maybe this is just what it's supposed to be. No, no. We were not put on this earth for us to moan and groan and be content with unhappy feelings. That is not the purpose. And if someone's telling you that, I need you to run from them. Run.
Run as fast as you can. Because it's your life, and you only have one time to live it. Listen, we don't get it. You don't get another audition at this. There's no callback.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like this is it. So make the use and make the best. Make the best out of the cards you dealt. We're all given cards, and some of us got the worst hand, and some of our hands are popping. You understand what I'm saying? But I've seen people play that popping hand wrong. Like I've seen people with a popping hand.
Yo. Yes.
That lose the game.
Yes. Oh, yes. And you're just like, dang, if I had those cards, man, if I had that opportunity, if I had that chance, shoot, you don't even know what you have right now.
Don't even know what you have. Oh. And I've seen some people that didn't even have a card, didn't even have the ability to sit at the table, didn't even get an invite to sit at the table to get a hand to play.
And
came out, like I said, came out solid on the other side. Well, what's the difference between the two? It's the vision. What's the difference between the two people? It's the will. What's the difference between the two people? It's the level of perseverance. It's the I can, I will, I shall. It is done attitude. That is the difference between the one who got a flush and the other one who can't even step to the table.
Right. We got to get it together, do-gooders. Because we want everyone to live in the remix. And not in the lonely party. Mm-mm. No.
You know, no pity parties. Definitely no pity parties over here, child.
Oh,
no pity parties over here. So listen, determined to be a do-gooder. Put
that's
that
right.
goal in sight and go open other doors for yourself and ultimately for others. Don't fear rejection. Get connected, honey. Connect to your vision. Connect to what God has for you. Remember, whatever you want in life, you can have it. I do good as I go get it. So get up and go get it.